Well, I have to confess that when we were designing this church and we said we wanted it to have the ability to hear each other sing, I had that song. That was one of the songs I had in mind. Wow, what a great job. You guys, just phenomenal. Just the sound there. And thank you for lifting your voices and singing praise to God. And what a beautiful, beautiful song that is that praises Him. This week, I found myself at the stoplight at Hibiscus and Babcock. I was taking my son to the doctor and got caught at the light and was looking around, and I was right next to Gatto's, the Gatto's Car Center. You know, got to get to Gatto's, which is like a Baptist slogan because it's all alliterated, right? It's good. Got to get to Gatto's. And I looked over there, and I saw on their window the painting or whatever of their slogan or, the company motto, which is selling safety and peace of mind since 1971. Selling safety and peace of mind since 1971. And I thought, how American can that be, right? That we can capitalize peace of mind and safety and make a buck off of it. Right? I mean, that is American capitalism at work right there. And then I started thinking to myself, well, that's actually a pretty smart slogan. They're onto something there with that little motto, because there is a deep need within all of us for peace. We crave peace. And it's hard to feel peace in your life if you don't feel safe, if you feel endangered in some way or imperiled. And so they're really tapping into something with this idea of peace. We've sung a lot about peace tonight. We've read scripture repeatedly that has the words peace in it, peace. And we sing songs of peace and about peace because Christmas is a time of hope for peace. The last couple of Sundays, we've studied the prophecy that God gave to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. We read it a few moments ago at the beginning of the service, and especially verse 6, which is such a well-known verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And for the last few weeks, or last couple of weeks, and especially this last Sunday, we dug into those first three names, saving Prince of Peace for Christmas Eve, because this is the time when we're reminded of how much we desire and crave peace. The reason why we sing it so passionately is it is a deep need that we all have within us, that we all yearn for. And of course, that need is obvious in our world. You look around at our world, and it's a little nuts and has been for a long time. Back in 1938, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, he returns from having talks with Germany and Adolf Hitler, and he comes back to number 10 Downing, and he stands out in front of it, and he says to the press, "My good friends, for the second time in our history, a British Prime Minister has returned from Germany, bringing peace with honor. I believe it is peace for our time." And of course, ironically, almost exactly 1 year later, the World War II starts as Germany invades Poland, and almost about at the end of that war, between 50 and 80 million people are killed because of the war. And it's easy for us to maybe sit back and armchair quarterback old Neville. But the fact is we understand that desperation that he had for peace with his own people and within Europe. Since 1900, 187 million people have died because of wars. 187 million people. We need peace in our world. We see it every day on the headlines. We've seen it this week. And we saw an innocent woman on the subway asleep in New York City, set on fire and killed. We see atrocities every single day in our world, in our culture. We see war taking place over and over again between historical enemies in the Mideast, and it's like there's no end to it all. We get reports from our church planting partners in Ukraine and the way the war there has just devastated their country. We need peace in our world, and we need peace in our personal lives, don't we? At this moment, I'm sure that many of us here, this large of an audience, there are many here right now who are not living at peace. Maybe not living at peace with someone else. There's someone in your family that you're not looking forward to being around this Christmas. In fact, you're hoping that you can just maybe avoid them completely. Some of you are snickering because I hit a nerve right there, didn't I? Okay? Some of us are not at peace in ourselves because, in our own hearts and our souls, because of struggles that we have, and conflicts and interpersonal relationships that aren't working right. I was, yesterday, I was at our modern world's version of a torture chamber. I was at Planet Fitness. Is there anything worse than being on a treadmill? Good Lord, whoever invented that thing ought to be, like, you know, banished from humanity. How boring. But I'm on that treadmill, and I'm going, you know, nowhere on that treadmill, over and over again, taking my steps. And I look up, and I see the news on CNN, and there's this headline, and the headline was all about how at Christmas this year, many people, families, are cutting short their time together because of the political tension within the families. And they broke it down by independents and by Republicans and Democrats. And one of the groups, 23% of one of the groups has said, surveyed said, they intended to drastically cut short their time with their family because of political differences. And I'll let you wonder what group that was. So I'm going to stay out of it. The National Institute of Health has said that 19% of Americans suffer with some kind of anxiety disorder. We are a people craving peace. We crave it. We need it to the core of our hearts. Desire for it, I think, is why we so passionately sing for it at Christmas. And when we hear the singing, our hearts are touched and stirred. And it's fitting that this is the case, because, brothers and sisters, our only hope for real peace is found in Jesus, the reason we sing on Christmas Day. As the Prince of Peace, Jesus was born to bring about eternal peace, lasting peace. For us to know peace, for the world to know peace, the underlying cause of all the conflict has to be addressed. It has to be removed. And what is the underlying cause for all the wars that take place between nations? The arguments that happen between husband and wife, the anger expressed between a child and a parent, or a parent towards a child, or the abuse that can take place in the workforce and the way you can be used by a company. What is the common cause for all of the pain and agony and suffering that we see in this world, that we experience in our lives? It's one simple word: sin. Sin is why we have all of this junk going on. It's the underlying cause. I mean, think about it for a moment. How often has your peace of mind been negatively affected by someone doing wrong to you? Think about a situation. I'm sure you don't even have to probably think very long, do you? Some of you are sitting next to him. And your peace of mind was disturbed by someone sinning against you. But if we're honest with ourselves this evening, our internal peace is most often affected by our own sin, by who we are. We're born sinners. And because we are born sinners, we are born in a state of conflict with God. The scriptures say in Romans chapter 8, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. At our 4 o'clock service, we kind of focused on the children, and we had a blast. I mean, it's worth coming to both, honestly, because the children were up here, and they sang in the choir, and they did a phenomenal job, and we had a dramatic sketch, and there were children everywhere in their Christmas pajamas, the little ones, you know, and right down here on the front row, there was like a 10-month-old, and man, is he going to be a lady killer. He's already handsome, right? So cute to look at. And you look at those little children, and they're so sweet. But pretty soon you realize they're born sinners. They're born as messed up as the rest of us. And it becomes out more and more. And as we grow older, our conflict with God begins to express itself more and more in conflict with other people. When you think about all of the conflict and the interpersonal relationships that you have in your life which disturbs your peace, what do they have in common? Sin. Either your sin, the other person's sin, or both parties, their sin. Why do we have nations at war together? Sin. Because we all know the biggest sinners are politicians. Amen, church? Yeah, we can always point our finger right at that. Yeah. Sin. Only Jesus can bring about the peace that we need and we want. And he does so by first making us right with God. Because we will never have peace if the hostility between us and God, if the relationship between us and God is not cured and healed completely. Peace starts with us first having peace with God. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Can I ask you a really important question this evening? Do you have deep, soul-satisfying peace in your life? Are you at peace this evening? Or are you looking to your career, to things of this world, to bring about that sense of peace and satisfaction in your soul? Do you have peace this evening? The scriptures tell us the only way you're ever going to have peace is to first have peace with God, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. Here's what you find out. Romans chapter 5 goes on and says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Both at the earlier service and this one, I can look across this audience, knowing some of your stories, and some of you are going through some of the worst trials you can ever go through. And we've all seen people who go through some terrible testings and trials and tribulations, and their peace is uninterrupted. How is that possible? Well, Romans 5 says one of the most immediate blessings of committing your life to Christ is that Jesus even redeems the suffering that we go through in this life. That he takes situations that are beyond our imagination that someone can endure, and he can turn that situation into something that is ultimately working for our good and God's glory. So that you can go through cancers, and you can go through diseases, you can go through unemployment, you can go through all kinds of, and it's not that it's fun. It's not that you're over here going, you know, la-di-da. It's hard, but you can have peace in the midst of hard tribulations. Why? Because of Jesus. He is our Prince of Peace. And if you don't have peace this evening, I want to encourage you to look at why. Perhaps you were raised in church or with a family that taught you the gospel, but you've kind of put it off to the side. You're a college student, you went to college, you've been busy with college, you're having fun with college, but you know, a lot of us found out when we went to college and we embraced that entire lifestyle that we lost something really important, peace. Because it wasn't at the parties, it wasn't at all the things that the world offers. Some of us, we grow up and we get into careers and we can be very successful and we can make all kinds of money and we have all the things that the world says is success and still not have peace. Do you have peace this evening? It only comes from the Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you took on flesh. God with us, Emmanuel, mighty God, our wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I pray especially this evening, Lord, and for the person here this evening who, in the quiet of their heart, had to say, I don't really have peace, that you would give them eyes and a heart that understands you, that knows you, that loves you, that you would give them a heart that would commit them, their lives to you. And may you give them that peace that passes all understanding. In your name we ask these things, Jesus. Amen.